Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. His program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Wherever you are in the world, and I thank God for our co-host here, Pastor Al Davis, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And we are going into the Christmas season, and so we're going to talk from Luke chapter 2 today about the wonderful story, the greatest news that ever came to mankind in this whole chapter. And so I'm going to ask Brother Davis to begin, and we'll read a few verses, and then we'll talk on it verse by verse, if you want to look it up in Luke chapter 2. But this is fantastic news about the greatest event that ever occurred up till that time in the history of the world.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and Merry Christmas to you, and Merry Christmas to all of our listeners. And we're going to read here in Luke chapter 2. Just a reminder, you can go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and you can learn more about Bruce, and you can listen to past programs there and see some of the materials that Bruce references from time to time at whereisgodsword.com. Well, we're in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed."
Go ahead, read the next verse.
All right. "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria."
Now, before I comment on this, on the way over here, we were just thinking about and talking about the Bible and how amazing it is. And the Bible says that he hangeth the world upon nothing. And one day I saw on television where they showed a picture of the world there from a video from space. And you see all around it's black. And then you see this great big huge ball just sitting there on nothing, just as the Bible said. And the Bible is so accurate. We're talking about the authorized King James Bible, which we believe is God's Word and the perfect Word of God. And then we're talking about some other things about it. You know, even talks about airplane flight, for instance. It says here, and I quote, "There were given unto her the wings of a great eagle, and she did fly into the desert." That's found in the book of Revelation. Well, I don't know how you could describe a plane better than that. And the cross-reference to that, Jesus said, "Pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath or in the winter." It's not, they don't fly in Israel, I understand, on the Sabbath, the winter. They might get ice on the wings and crash. So he even uses in the King James 20th century words come out in the King James referring to airplane flight. So you got airplane flight there. And about this woman getting on the wings of a great eagle, that's how they would describe it back then when the Bible was written. And not only that, we were talking about this, they have TV, and you could go on and on, but you have TV clearly shown because when Moses and Elijah show up and they are the two witnesses that stood by the Lord of the whole earth on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they show up and they prophesy in front of the Antichrist palace, and finally, when their ministry is done, he puts them to death, and their dead bodies lay in Jerusalem, and God raises them from the dead, and it says, every nation, tribe, and language see their dead bodies. Well, how in the world would the whole world see their dead bodies unless they had TV and videos? So there you have television right there, and this is found in the authorized King James Bible. We just started off, and we got planes, and we got television, and we could go on and on. The Bible talks about the air having weight. How did they know that? We could go on and on. The amount of knowledge that comes through this book, the King James Bible. But it records today about, we're going to talk about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me simply explain this, that the God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, is an eternal spirit. But in the Old Testament, King David says, "A body hast thou made me," referring to God. And then in Isaiah 7:14 said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us." And so this virgin, she did not know a man. She had no physical relations with a man. But Almighty God impregnated her, and she out of this came, God took on a human body in the womb of Mary. This is the heart of Christianity, and it's taught in many places in the Bible. I was talking to a Jewish friend one time, and he thought it was rather humorous, that idea. And I said, well, I says, what about Abraham and Sarah? When they were old, God said, you're going to have a child. So that child would be supernatural because Abraham was over 90 years old at the time, and Sarah's womb was dead. And Sarah laughed, and I said, God saw that Sarah laughing. He says, yeah, you're going to have a child. We're going to call the name Isaac, which means laughter. God has a sense of humor. And I says, I know you're a real Jew because you laugh at this, and so that proves it. And then he got so serious, and I had to laugh too. But see, that teaching is in the Bible. God is going to make himself a human body and enter into our situation. Now, the Bible gives a time, and this fits into the framework of Daniel, because Daniel said 483 years, and I'm stating it. It's stated in weeks, but it comes to 483 years. Jesus would come, and so he walks in on Palm Sunday, 483 years to the day. This Bible is full of scientific prophecy, and we just gave a number of them already, and we just started out, but I mean, it predicts the future. Now, here today, we're going back to the past, but then this also talks about the future. So it gives a time when there was a taxation, and here is the Roman Empire thousands of miles away, and he decided to tax the people. And so he said that they had to be taxed and go to the city that they came from. Well, Mary and Joseph, they were descendants of King David, so they had to go to the town of Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is a real place, and the time of Jesus' birth is a real time. This is history. And we date, by the way, we date the time that we're in next year, the first of the year, be 2019
already.
Yeah, from the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know the exact date that he was born. We know about the time, but we date our time from there. And so here we have the Caesar in Rome, and God puts it in his mind. See, God allowed the Romans to conquer the empire at that time, conquer a vast stretch of the world at that time so that the gospel could be preached and come out. And later on, Pilate, who is responsible for the crucifixion of Christ, he had to give reports to the emperor, and so he gave the report to the emperor Tiberius of the about Jesus Christ, about him dying, and he obviously reported about him rising from the dead when he sent his report to the emperor at that time that controlled the whole Mediterranean area, because the emperor went before the Senate, according to Roman historical records, and wanted to recognize Jesus Christ as the God. I guess if you can die and rise from the dead, that's pretty impressive, isn't it?
It puts you in the running above most people.
Yeah, it sure does. And so this is a time and a place. It's not based on mythology, because mythology doesn't have a real time. It doesn't have a real place. And so it's a real time when this taxing. And God put it, first of all, led the Romans to conquer the area so the gospel could get out. Then he put it in the Roman emperor's mind to tax them, so they all had to go back to their hometown. Now, okay, let's read the next verses.
All right, and continuing in Luke chapter 2 with verse number 4, it says, "And Joseph also went up in from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David."
Okay, we'll stop there. Now, he had to go to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a real place. I've been there, and thank the Lord. They have a Bible-believing Baptist church right there in that town. And the pastor's name is Naeem Khoury there. His son is now the pastor. I met him years ago when I was over there. But it's a real town. Now, why did they go to Bethlehem? Why did God put it on that emperor's mind to make this taxation? And why did they have to go there? Because in the book of Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be the least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, who shall rule my people Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And so this person that was born, we begin when conception is made, and then we're born, and we trace our time. But when Jesus was born, that's not when he began, because it says in Micah 5:2, he was from everlasting. Only God has lived forever in the past. And we can't even understand that, because our mind has a closed door to something that always was. I cannot understand it. Nobody can understand that. But God always was. But in Bethlehem, he took on a human body. And so he went to be taxed. Okay, let's read the next few verses.
All right, it continues in verse 5, "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child."
And go ahead.
"And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn."
Okay. Now, there's a number of things that are important. Isaiah 7:14 said, "Behold, a virgin bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which is God with us. And so once again, the idea that Mary was a virgin at this time is very, very important to Christianity. And it means that God himself, through the Holy Spirit, put the body of Jesus in her. And she nourished that body, and then he was born into this world. And Jesus would go through all the experiences that we as human beings go through, by the way. And that was very important. So the virgin birth is important thing. So that you have people today that deny this. And I talked one time, I was talking to somebody that I picked up that was hitchhiking, and he says, "Well, my teacher says that a virgin birth is impossible, scientifically impossible." Well, of course, you know, it's scientifically may be impossible, but the whole universe is impossible. The idea, when you see a world and you see all of these people on it and everything, that's impossible. But with God, all things shall be impossible. And when the angel predicted that she would have a son without the agency of a man, the angel said to her, "With God, all things are possible." And so now she has this child, and the child is born, and she wraps him in swaddling clothes. I heard a translation the other night, and it was not the Authorized Bible, King James Bible, which is God's word, and it left out swaddling clothes. Well, swaddling clothes is a very important thing, because they would wrap their baby in these clothes, wrap them over and over with cloth to be wrapped round and round them. When somebody died, that's how they would wrap them up. They wrap a cloth around them over and over and wrap them up. That's where we get the statement at the end of a ball game, that just wraps them up. You know, it comes from the idea they died, and now they wrap them in clothes. So Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and that's an important thing. It was left out of this version that I heard wasn't the word, true word of God. And that means Jesus was born to die. And Jesus says, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." Jesus Christ was born to die and be punished for our sins. That's the gospel. And that means, despite the fact that I have sinned, you have sinned, and we have come short of the glory of God, and we're under the wrath of God and headed for hell, that Jesus has taken God's wrath, he has been punished, and now by faith in him, we no longer will be punished. And the Bible says he is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We are going to meet God Almighty with joy. And exceeding joy means wonderful joy, fantastic joy, because we've met the one that died for our sins, the one that kept us all of our life, the one that adopted us into his family that we'll be with forever and ever. And so we can do this because Jesus was born to die. And you know, it teaches us through the whole Bible, when they offered those sacrifices all through the Old Testament, it was a picture that Jesus was coming to die for our sins. The great prophet, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You know, when they beat Jesus in the face so bad that you couldn't even recognize him, that was a beating taken for you and for me. When they whipped his back until it was open like a plowed field full of blood flowing down, that was my beating, taking in my place. And they spit in his face, that was the spit taken for me. When he died, that was the death taken for me, so that I could have eternal life and not be punished, but have forgiveness of sins. That's the gospel. You know, it's a shame today that a lot of people don't understand that. You know that when we say saved, that's saved from hell. And you know, when you repent of your sins, that means you're willing to turn from sin, accept Jesus as Lord. That is, you're willing to put him on the throne of your life, willing to obey him. You are saved. And Jesus said, "Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Some preachers believe that you can lose it, you know, but I'd rather go with Jesus, because he said, "Whosoever cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out." And then he said, "No man shall pluck them out of my hand." And if you're a man, and that's referring to a woman there, nobody's going to pluck you out. And if you're a man, you are included in that. And you say, well, these people said they were saved and now they're not. The Bible says they went out from us, because if they had not been one of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out to show who they were. And then Jesus says, "All that the Father gave me, I've lost none of them." Now, who are you going to believe? You're going to believe you can lose it? You say, well, that person's living like the devil. Well, maybe they better go back and start all over again, you know, because if you're saved, God's going to discipline you, and you're not going to live like a life like the devil. And I don't believe a person's saved when they do that. Now, it says, at this time, Jesus Christ was born. He was wrapped up, and he came to die. But his resurrection proved that God accepted his death as a payment for sin. And so when he rose from the dead, which he did, 500 people saw him alive after that, and he stayed with them 40 days. They weren't just seeing a vision. They were seeing the real flesh and body of the resurrected Lord, who went to heaven, and he is now in heaven praying for us. So they put him in a manger, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. That means she had other children, and laid him in the manger. Of course, James is one of her children, and Judah is one of her children. They were half-brothers of Jesus. And there says here there was no room in the inn. So he was laid with the cattle. He was very poor. Most of the people in the world are very poor. And so God identified with you by being, there was no room in the inn, by being born and putting in a manger where cows would feed out of. And it says there was no room in the inn. There was no room for him in that inn. And I don't know where it was, maybe a barn or something that they put him in, I don't know. But, you know, that's the greatest question. That's a $64,000 question. Where do you have room for Jesus? You see, everything depends on that. If you receive him, you have eternal life, and you become part of God's family, and you have forgiveness of sins, you have joy, you have peace, you have everlasting life. You have all the blessings of God. King David says, "Blessed are all they that put their faith in him." Who is he talking about? Well, he's talking about Jesus. God says, "I'll declare the decree. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." And then he says, "Blessed are all they that put their faith in him, the Son of God." Some people say God doesn't have a son. Isaiah 9:6 says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." I tell you, I've known Jesus most of my life, and I'll tell you, he is wonderful. He is indescribably wonderful. A counselor, He's our lawyer. And I'll tell you something, he's my judge, but he's going to be my lawyer. I'm glad my judge is my lawyer. And if the devil says, look at Bruce's sin, Jesus says, there's my blood and it's paid for all his sins. Get out of here. And it says, wonderful counselor, the mighty God. Jesus is all powerful. The one that loves me is going to stay with me forever, has all power in heaven and earth. And some of you people have so little faith, you don't even think God can keep a Bible. Well, I'll tell you, he's kept a Bible. We have it in the authorized King James Bible and all the rest of them. They come and go. You know, when the advertisement stops, they disappear about 400. This one goes right on, and it will go on through all of eternity. And it came to us by the apostles, and it came down through the churches, Bible-believing churches, and we have it today. And there's 5 billion copies out there. And despite every attack on it by the devil's agents, it still goes on. Now, it says, okay, do you want to read the next verse?
All right. Continuing in Luke chapter 2 with verse 8, it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
Go ahead.
And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
You know, in your life, you may have to go through the same program every day. You go to work, you come home, you eat, you watch a little television, you go back to work, and life becomes boring. But, you know, you need to see the glory of the Lord. And I tell you, one day you see how glorious Jesus Christ is, and you see how wonderful he is, and you see him working in the world, and you have seen into eternity. And I tell you, life will never be boring for you again as long as you keep your mind on that and you see that. You know, if you're a preacher, a Christian worker, you need to see the glory of the Lord. And you see the glory of the Lord, you'll be so thrilled, you'll be so excited, you'll never get over it. And I tell you, I've seen the glory of the Lord, and in the Bible, we see the glory of the Lord, and you feel depressed and you feel down and you get bored, you just read this book and you'll see the glory of the Lord. And I mean, it will change you. And that day, those shepherds did the same thing, and it was a dark night. You may live in a dark time, and you may have a dark night for you, but you come to think about Jesus and you come to find out about Jesus, you're going to see the glory of the Lord, and life will never be the same. Okay?
All right, and continuing in verse number 10, it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto or be to all people.
All right, now, he says here, this is the good news. He brings good news. And you look at the media all the time, and man, the media will just get you down and depressed. You see those rascals on CNN lying to you all the time and hate Trump, you know, hate the president. By the way, I got to say this. He's doing a great job, despite what CNN. You know why they do that? Because they're going to try to set up a world government. And they don't like it because he's for America and helping America. But anyway, angel said unto him, fear not. Now, the light has shined, and God's light has shined to the whole world and told us why we're here. People without God, they don't know why we're here. They don't know the time. They don't know where we're going. They don't know nothing. But when they see Jesus, he's the way, the truth, and life, says unto them, fear not. That's the first thing in the message. We don't have to be afraid. You think Adam and Eve walking in the garden holding hands with the creator of the universe were afraid? Well, God's message to you today, if you know Jesus, you don't have to be afraid. That's wonderful. People are afraid of everything. You don't have to be afraid of death, afraid of sickness. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. You want to have some happiness and joy in your life? You know Jesus, and he'll bring you joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He saves us from our sin. No matter what you're addicted to, no matter what kind of drugs or what you're addicted to, Jesus will save you from the power of that sin. He will forgive your sins, and he will guarantee you that he takes you to heaven. He is a Savior to you. So, this is a sign. You see him in swaddling clothes. That is, he's come to die for your sins. And you know, when they saw him and they realized who he was, they went out praising God. If you've ever seen Jesus, you can't keep your mouth shut about how great he is. And they can mock you, they can try to kill you and everything, but you're going to be talking all your life because you have met the creator of the universe in Jesus Christ our Lord. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.